Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the AnimeBuoy.org Anime Fan Podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussion that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Present day. Present time.
Today is September 27th, 2015, and this is Episode 3, Introduction to Serial Experiments Lane.
Well, Layer 03.
Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to the Anime Buoy Recommendation and Discussion Podcast, where we talk to you about our favorite anime and hope to open your eyes to some classics that you might have missed and shine a light on some modern shows that maybe aren't getting as much love as we feel they should be.
Well, I hope you're not shitting a
line. All right. This week, we're talking about Serial Experiments Lane. So buckle in and get ready for that.
Yeah, so Serial Experiments Lane is very odd, but like very revered anime. I would say there's nothing quite like it, but, you know, it's definitely been influential on a bunch of other anime. It originally aired on TV Tokyo from July to September 1998. It is a cyberpunk science fiction kind of, dark conspiracy theory anime, that deals with a lot of these, like, themes of technology and identity and, you know, for its time, really, you know, exploring a lot of these issues when, the internet was just starting to be, you know, more of a widespread thing instead of just a hobbyist thing. So, you know, it's really was influential in a lot of, you know, more modern cyberpunk that we've seen.
Yeah.
By exploring these themes.
Well, and, you know, the thing is, part of the reason I think Lane is so revered is because in 1998, it was really having discussions and looking into the way that, you know, being always connected and always online and always a part of like a global community would impact and influence sort of almost humanity's growth and the way that we as people fundamentally communicate with one another.
Yeah.
It was looking at this, and admittedly through a science fiction lens, but it was looking at this and these impacts, before there was a manual of what was happening, hell, before most people were even online, when it was just clearly the direction we were going in.
Yeah, and I mean, this coming at a time where, you know, we definitely saw some anime exploring some serious themes, but this is a very serious, very heavy in times anime. You know, there's lots of elements of psychological horror. There's, like, you know, a lot of mystery elements, and I mentioned, like, conspiracy theories. So, you know, definitely another one in the vein of these very serious works of animation. This is one that only aired 13 episodes, but there's a lot going on in those 13 episodes. And it's pretty notable because a lot of the creative staff on Serial Experiments Lane, this was really like their first big hit. And, so they could kind of come up and doing, you know, different things in the manga and anime fields. But, like, this was really kind of what helped really launch the bigger career for a lot of the people. The name that people most often connect, and as far as I've seen, to Serial Experiments Lane is Yoshitoshi Abe-san, who did the character designs. And if you've ever seen any of the art from Serial Experiments Lane, this still to this day is one of the most beautifully animated shows ever, especially if you've seen the Blu-ray release of it. I mean, it's just, for its time, stunning work of just, you know, the way the scenes are planned out and, just the colors and everything. But, you know, a part of what really made it stand out is Yoshitoshi Abe-san's character designs, which, you know, to this day, you know, he's kind of become signature for, like, the way that his characters look. He had a really interesting upbringing. He first kind of got noticed as a graffiti artist who, you know, he would kind of get in trouble with the law. And, you know, this time was really influential in his later projects and the way he designed his characters. So, you know, definitely very manga influenced. He is a very avid doujinshi publisher, even doing a doujinshi for Lane itself. So, you know, he was kind of very, like, almost like this indie underground, you know, doujinshi artist. He'd publish a couple of doujinshi at that time.
Think indie artur.
Yeah, like, he'd published a couple of doujinshi at that time. I'm not familiar with these, but Furumachi, Shooting Star, White Rain are some coming before you know, he got involved with Serial Experiments Lane. But, you know, he definitely, you can see, like, you know, it's very, like, more of a realistic approach and just very, very intentional design choices. And, I mean, I'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about some of the characters, because, you know, the way that some of them are portrayed, and especially Lane herself, the protagonist, you know, how she is portrayed in different ways with her identity. Another name that is often connected, you know, that we hear of is Yasuyuki Ueda-san. And, again, this was, as far as I know, really kind of his first big project. He would later go on to work again with Abe-san on Nia Under 7, Haibane Renmei, but also involved as the producer for Helsing, and he worked on Tenchi Muyo, the movie 2, Daughter of Darkness, Magical Project S. So, you know, his name has been around there. He worked on the game for Sega Saturn, Wackenroder. I'm saying that right. Wackenroder would probably be right.
Yeah, well done, man.
Because it's German. So if you're familiar with that game, he was involved with that. And the story and writing was done by Chiaki J. Konaka, which that's not a a mistake. He goes by Chiaki J. Konaka. He just chose to have a J for part of his, you know, pen name when it's Romanized. And he worked again on a lot of some of the same things with Ueda-san. He, you know, went on to work on Helsing. He was involved in a lot of the Digimon series. He also did a couple scripts on Magic Users Club, Raxophon, Big O. He did the screenplay for that. The 2003 revival of Astro Boy, Vampire Princess Miu, did a couple episodes for that. So, also known as the creator of Ultraman Gaia. So, you know, definitely a wide variety of work coming from him.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he did you mention that he also writes Japanese adaptations of, like, Cthulhu horror?
No, I never knew that.
Yeah, because that's something I love about
him. It doesn't surprise me, because there's a lot of, like, I don't know if I would really say it's supernatural. I think psychological horror is a better way to describe Serial Experiments Lane, but there's almost elements that border on supernatural. So, I mean, you can definitely tell that's part of his oeuvre.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the way that he works with mystery and the dread of the unknown.
Yeah.
Is very much prevalent.
Lovecraftian, for sure. And then the late Ryutaro.
To say nothing of Lairs Beneath Lairs. I'm
right,
sorry.
Right. I was saying the late Ryutaro Nakamura-san, who was the director. And, you know, probably Lane is probably his most famous one. Also Ghost Town with Masamune Shiro-san. But, you know, he had come up through the industry in the late 70s and the early 80s. He did some, like, storyboarding, a lot of what he was kind of doing his start. And in between, he did some storyboards for one of the Pat Labor OAVs, for A Lupin the Third OVA, I believe. And then, you know, really, like, the first big thing that he did kind of on his own, he had directed a couple of motion pictures, but he, you know, came into Serial Experiments Lane, and really most what he was known for. And it's interesting, even, you know, up until, you know, a little bit later towards the end of his career, he was still doing a lot of storyboard work. He did some storyboards for Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, which is interesting because Ghost in the Shell, you know, has a lot in common with Lane. He did some key animation in Love Hina. He was the director on Sakura Wars, involved with some episodes of Magic Users Club. So, you know, kind of going along with some of the other creative staff. And he unfortunately passed about 2 years ago at the age of 58. So, unfortunately,
rest in peace.
Yeah, he has a good legacy with, you know, even if we're not familiar with all of his work or, you know, all of his contributions, Lane is a big one. And so, something that's just kind of interesting before we start talking more about, like, the characters and, like, the overall story is that what was really interesting about the production of it was that Ueda-san, the producer, considered the series to be almost like a really big, in his words, an enormous risk. And it was kind of designed in intent to be a response to the American sense of values that Japan had adopted after World War II, and he was hoping that in creating Lane, that it would show kind of some distinctly Japanese values, and that when, you know, American viewers would watch this show, they would have different ideas, and he even used the term a war of ideas, that would help promote a discourse about, you know, the way that the two cultures interact. And he was a little disappointed because he found that American audiences responded very similarly to Japanese audiences. So, you know, that was very kind of interesting in its concept. And then it was also always kind of intended, whether it really came to fruition as they envisioned or not, I'm not sure, but they wanted to really be multimedia with, like, video games, manga. As I mentioned, Yoshitoshi Abe did do some doujinshi for it, and I believe was there just one game, or were there a handful?
I think there were a couple. I thought there were a couple. Maybe they didn't all get made, but I know at a time they were talking about multiple.
Yeah, so there was the PlayStation game. I'm not too familiar with it, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it, but...
Well, it was largely a visual novel type game.
Yeah.
Sort of exploring the world of Lane. This sort of thing was fairly common in the late 90s. I have an Evangelion game that's fairly similar.
Right. So, it was kind of intended to be a bigger thing than maybe it ended up being, but, you know, still its legacy is, you know, very, very prominent. And, you know, those who are appreciate this sort of genre of anime, who have seen it, they will, you know, certainly speak about it with a reverence. So... So on to, you know, talking more about the plot and the story. The main character is a 14-year-old girl named Lane Iwakura. And so she's kind of just this, like, really introverted girl. She, you know, doesn't have a lot of friends at junior high. But what she does love is she shares a love of computers with her father, who, you know, is kind of, like, helps her. Like, there's a lot of Apple product placement that's not specifically named as Apple, but very clearly referenced Apple and, like, you know, its design and, like, even, like, the graphical UI. So, you know, he kind of, like, helps her, you know, with her interest in that. And basically, you know, this is just a spoiler for the first episode. A classmate of hers mysteriously dies, is, like, murdered, and so then ends up contacting her online. So kind of starts out definitely very with, you know, a horror element, you know. And so it really just starts exploring these themes. And as Lane gets more involved in what's called The Wired, which is kind of like just this VR network that is, there's more than meets the eye to it, she kind of explores her identities and discovers things about herself that she maybe did not want to know. But, to the point where she almost has, like, multiple personalities and kind of in The Wired is almost a little bit of a villain to a point. Like, or, you know, I mean, I'm not really a villain, but it's very complicated. And what's really interesting is that coming back to Abe-san's designs, like, he had very distinct ways, you know, with, like, facial expressions or, like, you know, the way that she wore her hair, her wardrobe, for, like, different personalities that she had. And they would even be written in different different scripts. So, like, regular Lane would be written in kanji or kana, and then another Lane would be written in kanji or kana, and then the kind of wired persona that she had was written in romanized letter, like, you know, Western letters. So,
well, and, you know, it's funny because sort of the main way people talk about Serial Experiments Lane is very specifically, you know, that it's asking the questions of the meaning of contemporary life, where identity and technology sort of meet and where they intersect. And a lot of people even do consider the show to be sort of like a extended look at mental illness and the way that these problems become exacerbated. Things like dissociative identity order become exacerbated by our increasing reliance on interpersonal relationships that are mm-hmm. happening sort of digitally. And again, you know, this is stuff that no one else was talking about in the late 90s of all times. So it's, you know, like you say, it's like, it really is, in a big way, this show is about just the fact of these personas and that they've even raised up.
It definitely is very similar to something you might find in a Persona game.
Absolutely, though.
I mean, even like Persona 4 kind of going into the TV world, but, you know, Persona games are often a lot more playful. This show's very serious.
Yeah, this is played dead straight.
And, you know, Lane's family, her father and her are pretty close, but she and her mother do not have a good relationship. Her older sister, you know, does not have a good relationship and kind of like is, like, you know, on a like crash diet going to see her boyfriend in Love Hotel. So kind of just like a look at modern, you know, like the darker side of modern life, or, you know, modern Japanese life, but also kind of for everyone. And then, you know, then Lane starts going to Club Siberia, where, you know, she kind of starts taking on this other identity and, you know, learning more about the Wired. And meanwhile, there's like these mysterious men in black who are kind of like after her and, like, you know, somehow connected to the Wired. And, you know, it's just the way it all unfolds, you know, it got a lot of, you know, very existential themes and, you know, I mean, it's cyberpunk, so of course it does, but, you know, also kind of sharing in with Evangelion, like, instrumentality of man, to the point where some of the themes and, you know, the way, like, you know, like, especially, like, the outdoor elements and stuff, like, the you know, town design and such. People thought that, you know, it was heavily influenced by Evangelion, but Konaka-san said that he hadn't even seen a single episode of Eva until he had finished production on, they'd finished production on the fourth episode of Lane, and, you know, he really was more influenced by horror, like The Exorcist, and also things like Jean-Luc Godard for, like, the way the typography was used on screen, so, you know, definitely.
And as we've said, his personal interest in Lovecraftian tales and what have you.
Right, right. And there's definitely some Alice in Wonderland influence. You always kind of seem to see, like, Alice kind of tying in with that cyberpunk narrative, too. And then just, like, the ideas of, like, Timothy Leary and just, like, you know, conspiracy theories like the Roswell UFO incident are referenced. And, you know, so it really, like, delves into a lot of stuff. And it's a really, it gets really heavy in a similar way.
Even looking at stuff like Jung's theory on collective unconscious.
Right.
I mean, it's to me, we talked last week about Cowboy Bebop, and we talked about how that is a great sort of entry point for people who are interested in anime as, you know, like just an art form that can tell any kind of story. People are looking for you know, just really slick, amazing action. Serial Experiments Lane is the kind of series that I think you need to get into if you're interested in theology. If you're interested in
God and the Machine.
Well, exactly. You're interested in sort of the way that mankind is sort of coming to terms with our digital existence. In fact, you know, thematically, you look at these themes of communication and loneliness, mental illness, and our relation to reality. Yeah, there's even the use of theology, you know, as you were sort of dancing around, Slaggy, where, you know, Lane herself is sort of almost self-realized as a greater being in her own eyes, if nothing else. And there's just so much going on from, like, a deep sort of creative level of Lane.
Right.
There's so much going on from almost a scholarly perspective.
The episodes are called Layers, and it's really appropriate that they're called such because there are layers and layers and layers in the show. And, you know, it's definitely something that is not like a light dinner time viewing, you know, like,
oh, absolutely not.
Episode of Gurren Lagann while I eat my pizza rolls, you know?
Right. Believe in the me that believes in you.
This is definitely something that, you know, is best, you know, enjoyed and, you know, when you can really put the time in to, you know, kind of reflect on it.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it definitely asks a lot of its viewers, and, you know, so that's kind of why it was such a big deal, because, you know, a lot of anime to that point hadn't done so, you know, and then, you know, coming off of Evangelion with basically getting death threats to Eva's creator, you know, Hideaki Anno-san for, you know, trying to challenge, you know, audiences in that way, so.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I hate to push you along, Slaggy, but I'd like to move on to episodes and moments that sort of stuck with you specifically. And I want to do this in such a way, I don't want to get right into spoiler territory to the degree that you can help it, but again, without explicitly giving away the plot, why don't you talk about why this is a show that you're still talking about, you know, 15 years after it aired?
I mean, it's just like, you know, just the way that everything everything comes together is so expertly done. It's not, there's nothing sloppy about it. And just the way, like, this mystery unfolds, you know, it keeps you wanting to figure out, like, what's going on. You know, I think the first episode, which is called Weird, which is also a, you know, anagram of Wired, which I think is very intentional. It does a really great job about setting up this kind of mystery, you know. Again, it's very kind of psychological horror, particularly in that first episode. And just, like, really does a good job establishing kind of the conceits of this show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then, without getting too spoilery, Lane has a friend named Alice, and I just, the way that her relationship with Alice unfolds is kind of like, you know, really, like, I'm particularly thinking of the final episode where, you know, her interactions with Alice there, just, it gets pretty, pretty heavy.
Yeah.
and, like, Alice is, like, Alice is a really notable character in this show, even though, you know, Lane is the central focus. A lot of the things that kind of have to do with Alice and her relationship and her connection with Alice. The ninth episode is really interesting because it's kind of similar to, in some ways, to the very late episodes of Evangelion, if you're familiar with them. It's really kind of just, like, showing these things like the aforementioned Roswell UFO incident, talking about, you know, different things like John C. Lilly, who was the physician who did dolphin communication experiments, and just kind of, like, really kind of taking these things to the next level. That was kind of like the level up episode. So, and I think Lane definitely goes through a kind of a transition there. The DJ who kind of hooks her up with, like, stuff from The Wired, he gives her, like, a microchip, and then so kind of, like, you know, they learn more about, like, what's going on there. So,
yeah.
And then, of course, you know, once you learn more about Lane herself and the way that her identity manifests itself on The Wired, you know, then it's kind of like, you know, it's very difficult to talk about that without outright spoiling it.
Absolutely. Well, then why don't we move on then and talk about one of the most, especially in Western fandom, one of the most notable qualities of the show. Sai, why don't you talk to us a little bit about the music of Lane?
Yeah, so when people hear about the music of Lane, they most often will, you know, connect with the opening theme, which was Duvet. It was performed by a British rock band, kind of trip-hop influence, called BoA, not to be confused with the K-pop star BoA, which, you know, definitely in that time of Napster and such.
I have that story too.
Yeah, and one of our listeners does too. And for me, it was interesting because I think a lot of people actually found out about the British BoA because they were looking for a K-pop BoA, but for me, it was the other way around. And I was like,
yeah,
I'm trying to find more BoA. The best comparison I have is they were kind of like a Cranberries sort of band, but, you know, just this very, like, moody trip hop influenced,
like trip hop Cranberries.
Yeah, and so, you know, definitely has a small but dedicated fan base from that. And then just, you know, the soundtrack was done by Ryuichi Nakido-san, who was part of the rock band RC Succession. You know, as far as I know, you know, some of his music had been used, like, in anime, but I think that, as far as I know, this is the only soundtrack, anime soundtrack, that he's actually composed.
It's a pretty good one, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, definitely there's a lot of electronica music. You know, Lane frequents the Club Siberia, so, like, they even have a remix of Duvet, which is done in, like, you know, definitely taking the trip-hop elements even further. But, yeah, I mean, just, like, the opening credits are, like, some of the best opening credits that I've ever seen in, like, any television show, but especially, you know, particularly in anime. You know, just the way that the music sets the mood for the tone of the show and the visuals that go with it. I remember actually seeing, because in North America, this was originally distributed by Pioneer. These days, it's Funimation who has charge of it, because rest in peace, Pioneer Entertainment. But, you know, Pioneer had also done things like Tenchi, and you know, the Tenchi probably being the big one that they had been responsible for.
El Hazard,
right?
The Armitage movie.
So, you know, there would be previews, and I remember one of the previews was just the opening sequence of Lane with Duvet in it. I was like, what is this? I need to get it. So I...
Yeah, they knew how to... They knew what they were doing there.
you know, that's actually... I went in... I think it must have been Right Stuff. I found a good sale on Right Stuff for the DVD set. It was maybe like $50 at that time, which was a pretty good deal. It was on sale, so I took a chance and I didn't regret it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's start wrapping this up. Somewhat amusingly, I want to talk about how to watch Lane. And somewhat amusingly, Lane is not easily watchable online.
Actually, it's on Funimation's YouTube channel.
Really?
Yeah, I just discovered that the other day. So
holy shit, that's awesome!
You can see I haven't had the chance to check if every episode is, but you can definitely watch the first couple episodes. I believe they're all subtitled, but I mean the dub was pretty solid. But
the dub was for its era; it was good. Now it's probably passable.
Yeah, but you know, so you can watch it subbed on YouTube on Funimation's channel. You know, just search for Serial Experiments Lane, Funimation, and we'll also put a link to it on our AnimeBuoy.org.
AnimeBuoy.org. And, you know, Funimation did put out a beautiful Blu-ray box set. I have a copy. I bought a copy for Slaggy for Christmas last year or something. It's good stuff. The transfer is good. Definitely worth watching. This is a show that really speaks a lot to me and many, many, many people out there on the internet. Slaggy, what are your last thoughts on Lane?
Just that it's a must if you are a fan of sci-fi anime. It's a must if you're a fan of sci-fi and cyberpunk and you're not super into anime or haven't really ever given it a chance, but you're willing to, and not letting the medium of it's anime, Japanime, or whatever, you know, that whole thing. This, you know, because we sometimes talk about like the stigma of anime, particularly as we experienced it in the 90s, you know, kind of just being like this dorky Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball thing, even though I love both of those shows quite a bit. And just like, you know, if you're a fan of Ghost in the Shell, that might be something that a lot of people have seen Ghost in the Shell, but have not seen Lane. If you like Ghost in the Shell, you'll really like Serial Experiments Lane.
Yeah, almost certainly. Like, as long as you're into, like, the themes and, like, the theory stuff and the introspective look at philosophy and how technology is changing life.
Right.
If that's the stuff of Ghost in the Shell you like, and I know there are many of you out there, Serial Experiments Lane is a must, with a capital M-U-S-T.
Right, and I would really credit it. It's kind of like the little sister in a lot of ways to things like Neon Genesis Evangelion and Cowboy Bebop. We intentionally picked Bebop to focus on, you know, as our second episode for that reason. You know, Lane is definitely a lot less known, but, you know, between those three shows, they really kind of, like, really push the envelope of, like, what could be done in anime and animation.
And animation generally, yeah.
I mean, you think of, like, what Cartoon Network was doing. They were doing things, like, at that time, like Dexter's Lab and Powerpuff Girls, which... by all means, yes.
Pretty groundbreaking in and of themselves.
Yeah, and like especially like Samurai Jack, but you know, definitely, you know, not a typical pattern of what's being seen in
TLDR. This is some next level shit.
It's some next level shit.
All right, well, let's talk then about what we're watching.
I said, hey. What's going on?
So I have been watching, you know, a lot of anime as always. Caught up on Dragon Ball Super this morning.
So good.
Last night, watched some Big O, watched some Evangelion, watched some Gundam. So
it was really cool.
Good stuff.
It was kind of like a mini anime buoy almost. Because some people had not seen any of those shows before, so...
Yeah, so it was great. You know, some of these shows I really take for granted. You know, I saw them for the first time 20 years ago. Take for granted that, you know, these shows still, despite being 20 years old, have so much impact on people the first time they see them.
Right. I mean, especially for me, it was the first time in a couple of years that I've rewatched the actual, you know, first two episodes of Evangelion. You know, recently it's just been, you know, watch the Rebirth, because, you know, the first movie kind of basically the same thing, more or less. But really,
you said Rebirth. I think you mean Rebuild.
Rebuild. Thank you.
Okay. Rebirth, yeah. Rebirth is a specific
is something
other
else.
Thing.
Yes. Yes. No. But just being like, damn, this this was so groundbreaking.
Yeah,
but
and
more
still,
about, more about,
you know,
Evangelion when we inevitably cover it.
Which may never happen. It's the Zelda of anime. Come on now.
So what you're saying is that we're covering it next year.
So anyway, and then the other stuff I've been watching has mostly been in prep for this show for future episodes. I've been checking out the Blu-rays of the Vampire Hunter D movies.
Which, oh, nice.
By the way, the best those movies have ever looked, let's be clear. The restoration work is on the first film in particular is beautiful. So definitely something I'm looking forward to talking about. Also been checking out a few of the sort of left-of-center mecha shows, stuff like Nadeshko, Vandred, and that kind of stuff.
Oh, I didn't realize you never had seen Nadeshko contemporaneously.
Oh, no, I've seen Nadeshko quite a few times. I've watched it in its entirety. That's one of my favorite shows. I just wanted to rewatch it to freshen up.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I had been surprised if that would be the case.
What about you, Slaggy? What have you been watching?
For me, it was mostly that first batch of stuff that you had mentioned. I'm trying to find, you know, I was kind of mentioning, like, light dinner viewing. I've tried to I've been trying to find something to, you know, kind of fill that spot. Ironically, I was previously watching Kill la Kill while I would, like, you know, have dinner, which Kill la Kill has some serious elements, but, you know, overall, there's still a lot of playfulness in it. So I just have been kind of trying to decide on something to, you know, sit and watch through, because I'm the type of person, particularly with anime, that I want to be able to sit and, you know, watch it, and, you know, even better if it's something that's already aired in its entirety, because, you know, I like to just be able to, you know, come home from work, you know, put something together for dinner, and then, you know, watch an episode or two of anime. Or, you know, something else. So, kind of just trying to find something to do there.
Ah, all right. Well then, with that having been said, why don't we head on over to those social links, Slaggy?
Yes, our social links, which we call on Facebook our .askmail, says, this week we look at the weird, wired world of Serial Experiments Lane. What are your thoughts on this technological think piece? So, one of our favorite Game Buoy listeners, and now Anime Buoy listener, Daniel T., said, I own the series, but I've never fully watched it. It was one of the series that, as a kid getting into anime in the turn of the century, was the alternative and edgy show to be into. And so I totally fell hard for the idea of the show. I was incredibly attracted to the art style, and the general themes resonated very strongly with my wannabe angsty teen self, right? But beyond anything else, the thing that hooked me most with this show was Duvet. I bought the lunchbox with the CD, I used the lyrics as my computer wallpaper, I doodled the words everywhere I could. The song was on constant repeat on my computer, and it's even how I got into J-pop, since I didn't actually realize at that time that it wasn't that BoA. I just had no idea why her voice sounded so different. And I forgot to mention, yeah, BoA has done, like, many Japanese language albums as well. She's one of those crossover stars that definitely did K-pop, J-pop, and such. So, definitely having that experience, too. Beyond Duvet, the series had some other excellent music, and the album Siberia Mix was a really exciting collection of tracks that felt like it really belonged to the world of the show. I suppose now is as good of a time as any to finish watching the show that truly sold me on the idea that anything was possible in anime, especially if I'm going to ever make that AMV of this show set to Deeper Understanding by Kate Bush, which is all about replacing human relationships with technology for you heathens who don't listen to Kate Bush obsessively.
So I'm pretty much gonna need you to make that, like, right meow.
And Brondorf also shouting out over on Twitter for the opening theme Duvet, saying the opening theme is the best ever. Yeah, like, that opening sequence, oh man. Like, go load it up on YouTube, just look for Serial Experiments Lane Duvet, that's D-U-V-E-T, like the bed covering, and, you know, prepare to be blown away, and don't be surprised if immediately after you want to go and watch that on Funimation's channel.
Awesome.
I understand we have some mail buoy.
We do, and you know, you've talked a lot here. I know that Lane is one of your very favorite episodes, so I wanted you to handle it. So I'll handle this mail buoy mail for us. So this is a mail from Dan Diaz. This is Cowboy Bebop, my anime convert story. Hi guys, loved your episode on Cowboy Bebop. Wanted to contribute and confirm this is a great anime to get started on. Had a main group of friends that were all rather anti-anime. Unfortunately for dumb high school me, I bought into it and shared the sentiment. said some of the reductive things you mentioned about people's view on anime. And at lunch, I had a completely different group of friends. We were talking about Tekken Tag Tournament one day, and I commented on really liking the concept of air juggling. Or maybe it was another game. I'm not sure if Tekken had proper air juggles yet. Maybe Captain Spike can help? Anyway, I digress. One of my friends said something like, oh yeah, like in that Cowboy Bebop episode with Pierre Le Fou. I had no idea what that was, so he told me. The conversation eventually went from, oh, it's one of those anime things, to, eh, sure, I'll give it a shot. I'd imagine my eyes were much like this while watching that episode. And at this point, you need to sort of insert a cat eye gif where the cat's eyes focus and get super dilated and the cat starts freaking out. My narrowed view on anime blew wide open. I devoured Cowboy Bebop and then got into Trigun, Samurai X, Rurouni Kenshin, and others. I mostly stuck to fairly accessible anime still, nothing too obscure. I still skate the line of fairly accessible anime, but with this podcast, maybe I can dig a little deeper. You've already piqued my interest with Paprika on episode 1. Keep up the great work, guys.
Dan and Crystal, since I know you're listening, we should watch Paprika. Like, you should come over since you were local.
Yeah, you guys are right down the street. Come on over. We'll watch it together. So, Dan, I want to say, you know, this story is super common, I feel. A lot of people, you know, they, like I said, they look at anime as like one thing or one type of genre and totally discount it. And the reality is, as we've talked about here, anime is as many things as any other art form.
Right?
I'm not surprised at all that you found stuff you got into. I'm sorry, you're saying Slaggy?
No, I'm just saying I can't believe that I'm still talking about anime in 2015 and doing a podcast about it.
You know, I was going to recommend a bunch of shows for you that I think you'd be into, but the reality is we're going to do episodes on all of those things. In the meantime, you know, Samurai Champloo is probably something you'd really like based on that little list you gave. If you've never seen Macross Plus, I highly recommend it. It's totally, you could totally watch it even without, like, any major Macross knowledge. Obviously, you know, original Gundam is always super good. But overall, you know, we're going to get to this. It's literally the point of the podcast. Mainly, I wanted to just say thank you from the bottom of my heart for basically giving me a sign that, like, this is a useful show for people.
Thank you for being a fan.
Right. And friend. I mean, let's be fair.
Could you imagine if there was a Golden Girls anime?
We hang out in that guy's house sometimes. He's a friend. He's not a fan.
But
Slaggy.
He's also a super fan.
Super fan. Okay. Okay, go on.
I was just saying, could you imagine if there was a...
I meant go on with the show, please.
Oh, okay. Well, we love your feedback. We love your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We love when you check us out on Stitcher Radio. We like likes on Facebook. And we effing love Twitter.
We effing love Twitter.
You can email us at mailbuoy@animebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@anime.org.
Honestly,
mailbuoy@animebuoy.org.
You could probably even... You can email us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org if you really wanted to as well. But our home base is animebuoy.org, you know, definitely a little more bare bones, especially if you're coming over from the SS Game Buoy. But, you know, our entire 3-episode archive is now up there, and we joke about that, but, you know, before we know it, we'll be like, oh, we're on episode 90 already?
That has literally happened before. It will happen again.
So, Spike, tell us about some shows we should listen to.
Well, as ever and always, my first shout-out goes over to gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy. .org.
Your twice monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. If you're listening to that show, you probably listen to us. If you're listening to us on this show, you probably also listen to us on that show. I'd also like to point you in the direction of the Starboard Power Coupling Podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail, as well as Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. Slaggy, why don't you take us to a drag race?
So I want you to make sure to tune in next year for 2 upcoming seasons of Reading is Fundamental, where we serve tea and dish shade on everything Drag Race, hunty. That's featuring both Captain Spike and myself and Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, one of the longest-running video game podcast, I'm sorry, and Delvin from Video Game Realness, another fantastic video game podcast. We have season 8 of the show and All-Stars 2 coming next year, so check it out. And if you're re-watching or watching for the first time, seasons 5, 6 or 7, you can listen along with us and hear us read those queens to filth, mama. Yes, God. And if you're interested in other games...
That whole show is basically Slidekick doing that voice. It's a riot.
If you're interested in gaming podcasts, I would suggest you check out GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And just click into and listen to one of our episodes. We've got links to some fantastic gaming podcasts out there.
Would you say we have links to the past?
I mean, I guess so, because we have our past episodes there. This isn't Zelda Buoy. But what I would like to call out for is if you have any recommendations for some great anime podcasts in particular, or just anything in general nerdery. You know, we like to shout out our gamer podcast friends out there on Game Buoy, but we'd like to use Anime Buoy particularly if you know of any great anime shows. So please let us know.
All right. Well, with all that having been said, it has been a lovely Sunday early evening talking to you all. I hope you've had as much fun listening to this as we've had talking to you. And we'll be back in just another week or two for another installment of AnimeBuoy.org.
Ooh, AnimeBuoy.org.
Until then, though, keep watching, keep thinking, and it's a me, Mario.
What?
But first, do we have any news to talk about?
Not that I really know of, you know.
Well, then let's just dig right into Lane.